Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to everyone here this morning. I'm sure I should find the microphone.
Here it is.
Our new rules now.
Your turn.
Oh, I'm good, yes, but in case somebody has something, I want to be ready. It's great to see everyone here today. We should be glad to be able to listen and worship here today. We should be excited to be able to visit with each other. We start out with some sad news this morning. Herb passed away last night at about midnight.
About
9 o'clock, Herb passed away. And a pillar of our church,
yes.
You know, a pillar irreplaceable. Let's find a way to put joy into this service. Let's just praise God for the fact that Herb has somewhere to go. He's in a better place than we are, and it's just something that should be celebrated. There is sadness here today, but we welcome Barb here this morning. Make sure you greet her. And you can't hug her, but her husband has COVID. Even though it's been a long time now, she still just wants to be careful and stuff, but make sure you say hello. Our flowers this morning are in memory of Michael Hansen from Linda Hansen for her son. Well, I said Hansen, so I'm going looking into. And her mother, Marion Lawrence, passed, was buried last Friday. So it's in memory of her also. We have a couple of announcements. The summer kids snack packs are still going strong, I hope. Today we're going to find out more.
Nope. And we handed out two on Friday night.
Two on Friday night. Did one on Friday afternoon, so that was good. The car show is coming up soon. That is in the bulletin. So check that out. We're going to be doing some special stuff for the car show. Banquet of Blessings. A lot of people have been coming in for food in the Banquet of Blessings. So please keep that in mind if you're going to BJ's or Costco's or something and you're picking some stuff up. Plenty of soup. Soup's not running right now, but a lot of the other stuff is. Does anyone have any other announcements they would like to mention this morning?
Yes, I would just like to say thank you to the many hands that helped with VBS yesterday. We had about 12 kids and some I've never seen before. So it was a great success. Thank you to all who participated. We did have some leftover goodies, so they will be downstairs in for coffee hour to be experienced as well. And enjoy the decorations. We're leaving them up for now.
Anyone else have anything they would like to mention this morning or share with us? Joys, concerns? Nothing? Well, then let us stand for our introit number 65.
In our call. Prophets, why are you here?
To witness and worship God today, grateful for your love.
What do you see?
We see the many ways we distract ourselves, the busyness that we choose, all the gift of your loving presence.
What else do you see?
We see the good and bad fruits we have produced.
What do you feel today?
We lament our mistakes to you, O God. We mourn the harm we have caused knowingly and unknowingly, individually and collectively.
What do you need?
We need and ask for your forgiveness to envelop us, inspire us to make amends with ourselves and with others.
Open our eyes that we may see the lessons you place before us. Help us to better love you by loving your creation. Amen.
And join us, please, and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Abba, Lord, Father, all life is yours. You created all things in heaven and on earth, and all were created for your glory and pleasure. Lord, we need you in our lives so much. Help us to seek for a heart like David's heart, a heart that glories only in you. We open our hearts before you this morning. We worship you and adore you and praise you alone. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Our scripture this morning is from Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15, on page 12 in your pew Bible. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I have found favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is your wife Sarah? And he said, there, in the tent. Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, oh yes, you did laugh. Our next lesson is in the New Testament, the book of Colossians. And that is on page 956, Colossians 1, verses 15 through 28. And this is the supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely as established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went, page 845. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
you bow in prayer with me, please? Oh, Lord Jesus, be in what I say today and stop me from getting in the way of what you want my sisters and brothers here today to hear. Help us to listen to you with our ears, our minds, and our hearts, so that your living presence can teach us, renew us, and help us to live as children of the Father. Amen. Our sermon this morning is from the Gospel reading, Luke 10, 38-42, at the home of Martha and Mary. This is where we find the life-transforming story of Mary and Martha, two sisters, who we are told passionately loved Jesus. Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus lived together in Bethany. Bethany is a small town in Judea, just 2 miles from Jerusalem, and it's on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. Three very interesting people whom we know very little about. Scripture provides no background information, nor do the Gospels reveal how they became so close to Jesus. John 11:5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's thought that maybe they were wealthy, and they lived in a large home, big enough to accommodate Jesus and all his disciples. Maybe they were huge contributors to Jesus and huge supporters of his ministry. There's no mention of husbands or parents, so it's assumed that they were living independently and that Martha was probably the older sibling left in charge of running the household. The culture at this time was that for the women to serve at home, and the men were the ones who were expected to sit at the feet and learn from the rabbi. It was unusual for a woman to be invited to do that. But as we know, Jesus didn't favor man over woman or woman over man. We will be discussing the familiar dialogue of Martha had with Jesus when she asked Jesus to tell Mary to get up and help her serve instead of sitting at Jesus' feet, hanging on to every word that he spoke. Let me read today's gospel, this time from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. We've all heard this a few times, at least some of us a bunch of times, so we bring a lot with us when we hear this. We have a lot that we think we already know, but Peterson's directness might help us to hear something new in it. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered the village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word that he said. But Martha was pulled away by all that she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me in the kitchen? Tell her to lend me a hand." The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're refusing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing, and only one thing, is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course of the meal and won't be taken from her." What did you notice? Is God offering anything up to you? I'm going to read it again. Quite slowly. Listen carefully. Notice if some part of it stands out to you. This is not a test and there is no trick. Listen to God's word and hear what it has for you. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word that he said. But Martha was pulled away by all that she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course of the meal and won't be. Is there a word or a phrase or a sentence that leaps out to you? Try to remember what God has offered to you. It may be something that speaks to you in your life right now. It might be something that you need to think about, something you need to do, something you need to find more about. It might be something that's challenging you or rebuking you. When I read this passage to prepare for today's sermon, there was a message for me, a loud and clear one. Only one thing is essential. Luke's gospel is concerned with one main point. What does it mean to be a servant of Jesus? As we continue working our way through Luke's gospel, let's keep that in front of us and ask it each week, like a lens that we will be looking through, that we can examine the future passages. What does it mean to be a servant of Jesus? A few weeks ago, you might remember the gospel reading was about service. Serving God through serving our fellow human beings, no matter how inconvenient it is to us, no matter who they are, no matter what their needs are. Serving them because Jesus is our master and he is the servant king. We are challenged to continually ask, who is our neighbor? And following on from that, how can we serve them? The challenge belongs to us as individuals, but also as a body. So Luke moves on from what it means to be a servant of Jesus through serving people to this new thought. And the thought is this: service is not just doing things. Service is being in a personal relationship with Jesus. It's an individual thing. You have it. I have it. We each have it, a personal, or need to have it, a personal relationship with Jesus. I've read a lot of sermons and commentaries and stories and things in preparation for this sermon. It's a simple story, but it's quite difficult to get a handle on it because it seems so counterintuitive. It seems to run against what we just read. Surely doing things in service of Jesus is right. Service in the kingdom, it's enormous, it's important, right? Well then, what is being said here? Remember, we're keeping that question, what does it mean to be a servant of Jesus in front of us? The context of this story is that Jesus is continuing his mission. He's going through Judea, teaching people about the kingdom of God and calling them to live in ways of God. At the same time, he's teaching his disciples about what it means to be servants. We're his disciples, so he's teaching us too. Luke has selected this story of the good, after the Good Samaritan, put that first. And then after this, he includes on teaching about prayer. I'm not sure if this idea works with you, but I thought it worked. And I hope it doesn't screw up what we're talking about here, but what if we put real people in the place of the sisters? Would it give us a better understanding of what's going on? Let's think of Anne and Jamie. as Mary and Martha. They're sisters, they love Jesus, but they're both quite different. Who would be who? Well, I'm thinking Anne would be Martha, the older sister, in charge of getting things done. Janie would be sitting at Jesus' feet. She would be smiling, of course, with her Bible open and talking away. Can't you hear her laughing with joy at every dot that Jesus connects? And Martha, just as interested, but rushing around preparing a meal for her guests, which takes a lot of effort and time, sputtering to herself, "Where was that sister of mine?" Well, poor Anne just keeps getting frustrated. Maybe she starts to feel overwhelmed by the work that she feels needs to be done to take care of her guests. Or maybe she gets frustrated not being able to sit and listen to the words of Jesus like her sister. Couldn't you just see Janie ignoring Anne's request or order to get up and help her as she soaks up all that Jesus is offering? And Anne turning to Jesus for help, demanding that Jesus tell her sister to come and help her. Well, Martha goes straight to Jesus with her problem. Martha is so comfortable and confident in Jesus' presence that she can say to him exactly how she feels and doesn't have to hide her frustration. I wonder if Martha was embarrassed by what Jesus said to her. Martha. Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen which is better, and it will not be taken from her. Did she realize that she was missing out by being too busy serving instead of using that time to sit and listen to Jesus? I wonder if you and I sometimes get our priorities. We get our priorities wrong. And we get too busy serving when we need to just sit down, be still in the presence of God, and wait to be instructed by Him. Did you notice that Martha was very comfortable confronting Jesus with her problem? She came boldly and confidently in the Lord's presence. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We need to learn from Martha. We can cultivate a relationship with Jesus that is so solid and intimate that we can boldly come before the throne of grace of God's presence anytime, at any time, any place, without fear, wanting, not being afraid of hiding from Him. Seek God's peace. Martha learns the very important one thing that Jesus wants for all of us. Jesus teaches Martha that the most important thing in life is to seek His presence. We need to have a close and intimate relationship with Him. When we get that one thing right, then everything else will fall into order. When we seek God first, we gain God's grace and wisdom for the task before us. And most importantly, we will have God's peace in the middle of whatever busy season that we are in. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Our story is in some ways at the heart of Jesus' teachings about discipleship and servanthood. Jesus has come to the home of two people He knows, and they're showing Him hospitality. Martha is doing things to make sure that everyone is fed, everyone's warm, everyone's looked after. Generally, they're important things because hospitality to a visitor was a key thing in that culture. Mary is sitting and listening to Jesus. She probably feels that Martha is going to take care of all this.
Martha does that. That's Martha.
Jesus not only tells Martha that Mary is doing the things he wants, but they're much better things. He's very consciously gets to the root of her problem. Martha is pulled away from Jesus by all that she is doing. One thing we need to recognize, though, is that Mary was doing, or Martha was doing, what was expected of her. Ancient Rome and ancient Jewish societies generally didn't treat women that well. In the light, it's not surprising that Martha's first instinct at Jesus' visit was to make sure that dinner was taken care of. Being a good host, being a good cook, the person behind the scenes who keeps everything going. These were the most important things that Martha valued, and it was what she was valued for. So the problem with Martha's actions wasn't that she was doing things that God didn't value. The problem has to be something else. And as I pointed out earlier, the text says that Martha was distracted from listening to Jesus, which may suggest that she had been invited to sit at the feet of Jesus, but she kept going off to focus on the meal instead. This would fit Jesus' point about Martha being upset by many things, not realizing which thing is the right one to focus on. The idea that this is about priorities comes again when we notice that Martha asked Jesus whether it's unfair that Mary isn't doing any work. Fairness is about priorities, finding the right option at the moment. Martha is asking what is more important in the context, listening to Jesus or making sure everyone is well cared for as a guest. Jesus responds that the most important thing is to learn from him, the resurrection, the light. There's a time and place for everything. Ecclesiastes 3. At that moment, the most important thing was to listen and learn. I've preached on this scripture before. And like many others, I've chosen to use the story as an illustration of two different lives. Two different lives of service in the kingdom. Martha's an active life of service. Mary's a contemplative life of prayer. But this story isn't about two different sorts of people with two different sorts of gifts, one better than the other. It's a teaching about the priority all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus need to put on things. Jesus' way is much more radical and much more costly than we ever give credit. Each of us is called to be in love with God and to make that our most fundamental part of our lives, and let that love overflow from us in service and care to the world. So in practice, what does this mean? First of all, it means that each of us needs to take seriously the need to stop. Daily, even many times, and listen to Jesus. That means reading your Bible, praying, being silent, and listening to that still, small voice of God in your heart. It isn't enough to rush through this. Remember, for the discipline, this is the most important part of your life, being silent with God and listening. All of us who are called to this, if we were to grow into the image of Jesus, as Paul says we are, this is something that we must do. It's something that we have to do. It isn't an option. 60 minutes in church on a Sunday won't do it. I'm afraid it takes being in a personal relationship with Jesus. Secondly, it means for those of us who are disciples of Jesus that we need to be continually aware and vigilant about all the things that pull us away from Jesus. Yes, things need to be done. You have to mow your lawn. You have to go to work. You have to cook. You have to earn your salaries. But in our world today, there are many things that we think need to be done that are really just distractions. I'm sure I don't need to go through any of them, but some of them are obvious. Some of them are not so obvious. Sometimes we get so tied up in this busy work things of our lives that we confuse doing them with being disciples. Each of us needs to be sure that what we're doing is what God is calling us to do. What is pulling you away from Jesus? So today's gospel reading does tell us something incredibly important about being a servant of Jesus. A servant of Jesus knows what is pulling them away from Jesus. And as a servant of Jesus, you know the most important thing is to sit at his feet and to listen. I know that sermons often disappear from your mind rather quickly. But I really challenge you to hold on to two thoughts in your mind as you pray and spend time with God this week. Ask God to help you see what is pulling you away from Jesus. And also, what ways God is offering you to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. We're disciples of Jesus walking on an exciting road. We live in lives that are rich and full of possibilities. The world needs us because we are the body of Christ. And this world desperately needs Jesus. And as we grow and change into better servants of Jesus, we become gifts to the world and to one another. Amen. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Jesus, you are Lord, and you're a teacher. You show us what we need to do in order to be your disciples. We should want to be your disciples. We should love to be your, we should crave to be your disciples. Help us in our daily lives to see what helps us and to understand what hinders us. Help us to sit before you and listen, knowing that when we do, you are pleased. You want us there. You want us listening. And when we're doing the things that you ask us to do, we're doing what we were created to do, to love and to serve you. Father God, today is a sad day. We come with the loss of Herb. We lift up the joy that he has brought into this church, the foundation that he's been in this church, that we all hold something from him with us, and we will the rest of our lives. Nothing would be better than to have him still here, sitting in the back, having coffee, and joining us, but the memories will stay with us, and we thank you for them. Father, we lift up this church, this denomination. We lift up the many congregants who are struggling. We hit summer now. Some will not be here. Some will wait to September to come back, Father. But we lift them all up to you and pray that we who remain will get stronger. We'll find a way to sit and listen more often and to just build ourselves up in your service. Lord, we lift up with love those in our family that are hurting, Chip Gill and Georgiana Coley and Art Peel, Carol Stratton. And Father, now I lift up to everyone here, anyone who would like to share a prayer. Father God, I lift up everyone here today that we each deal with loss. We've each lost family members. We struggle with that. We never know why. We never know why people suffer. We never know why we lose our loved ones. Father God, but you're there for us. We're all here for each other. We lift that all before you. We pray for comfort. We pray for a piece of understanding and how to deal with this and how to go on tomorrow. and how to go on to next week and to keep moving forward. Father God, we lift up this church and all that's going through. We praise you and thank you this day. We do ask forgiveness and your mercy. We're here today to worship you, and we give this service to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Another blessing we have is being able to give back in thanks. Father God, we come before you today. We don't know if we're Mary's or Martha's. We don't know if we run around like idiots or whether we sit there and listen to every word. But Father, we pray that we go out into this world like the disciples, that we're there for you. We thank you for the opportunities and the gifts that you give us. And we pray that we're able to listen and hold on to every word you give us. In your love and guidance we are. Amen.
You.
Jesus, we surrender.
Let us freely give. Let us freely sit and listen and take in slowly, searching for a word, a speck of guidance, a little understanding that'll help us get through each and every day and to deal with what is going on in our lives. Let's go downstairs after greeting each other and have some coffee and something to eat in honor of Herb, just as he would. Grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Let us go this week in his peace. Amen.